You guys are awesome. You can go ahead and take a seat if you would like. And we just love praising the Lord together. It's so much fun. There is now a row opened up in the front down here. Part of our worship team is our children, I think, because they're down here clapping and they're down here shouting and they're raising their hands, and I love to see it. And so we just proclaim Jesus even through these little guys. They come in the first part of our worship before they go into their time, and they love it, and we love it. I just love Liz and I sit over here right behind them, and it's just like motivation. It's like sick them to a dog in the South. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm so grateful that very front and center in our building today, I see Miss Brenda today. She is back. For those of you guys who don't know her story, I'm not going to tell the whole story. I don't have time. But she has been ministering to her husband for 3 years after a stroke, and most of the last year of that in his bed. And I just watched her live till death do us part and do it with some tenacity. And if you go see her, you'll get more encouragement out of being with her than you will ever give to her, because she just loves Jesus. And I just want to proclaim that today in Jesus' name, sis. It is so good to have you back, okay? We really appreciate that. And right behind that, can I just look across the congregation? Hey, there she is. Go ahead. Shout it. Yep. Come on now. Come on. Come on. We proclaim it again. And again and again. Yep. All right. That's good. You sit down now. I'm going to preach, not you, okay? I'm just saying. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she could. I guarantee you she could. And do it with some power in Jesus' name. Can we welcome all across this room? There's so many brand new people here today. First time in the building. We're so grateful you're here. We've had to pull out seats, and we get a little panicky because we're like, man, where's everybody going to sit? And that's wonderful. It's the best panic in the world. It's a wonder, where's everybody going to be able to sit down? And I just appreciate so much you guys being here today. Can we welcome our online church? We're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us online today. And it's amazing that little tiny camera back there just broadcasts all over the planet. Anybody that wants to watch and be a part of what's going on today. I want to say, too, if you're a guest with us today or if you're new, I'm going to have to put these on. I'm sorry. Even a 24 font don't work anymore, y'all. I'm going to have to just, it is what it is. But if you are a guest in the house today, you haven't already done this. If you're new and haven't done this, if you've been here a few weeks and never done this, please, would you please just connect with us if you would? It'll be on screen. There's a connection card on screen. You can shoot the QR code and do it online. It makes it really easy digital that way. Or you can take a card from the seat in front of you and fill that thing out. And then at the end of services, back on the back walls, there's two little black boxes where we drop our tithes and offerings. If you'll drop those in there, that'll be a blessing as well. I want to mention one thing by way of commercial before I get in the message, and I got to preach, okay? I got a lot to say, and there's a long way to go and a short time to get there kind of thing. So we're going to go. But I want to mention Impact. If you're new to our church and you've never been through what we call Impact, it's just a three-step process that you walk through that we want. We're not asking you to come be like us or sign you up to different. We want whatever God's gifted you to do and be in the kingdom. We want to help you identify that. And today I get to lead step two, which is actually it's really a spiritual gifts assessment, a personality profile. It's a fun lab to come to. Even if we're not asking you to be interested in anything except what God's calling you to do. And this will just help you identify that if you want to come. We meet right back here. We'll have some snacks provided and child care is provided. So we got all that taken care of. If you want to come be a part of that, please do so today. When you came in today, you should have been given a worship guide. If we didn't run out, probably this crowd, we may have run out. If you got a worship guide, inside that are some notes. If you'll pull the little notes pages out, some people love to do handwritten notes. We have a lot of people who compile that in little books, and we'll provide those for you if you want to do that. And as we go through our messages, And just again, welcome to all of our guests. There's a lot of you. I'd love to. As I meet people, I would love to just start the time off and just introduce everybody. But people be like, "Don't you do that to me, man? You mess me up if you start to point me out." So I'm not going to do it. But we're so very, very honestly grateful that you're here. Every time I stand up here, I think it's amazing that I get to do this. It just blows my mind. It blows my mind what God is doing and what He's going to keep doing. And I don't say that. There's no false humility in that. It's literally like, I cannot believe sometimes what I see before me in people and what God is doing, not just in the amount of people who are here. Numbers are important. There's a whole Bible book called Numbers. But really, it's more about your heart and your connection with Jesus Christ. We honestly mean that when we say that. And we want to help you find that, whether it's here or somewhere else. We would love to help you be able to find out what God has in store for you. Let me ask you a question as I start. Do you ever feel like that a little bit of the whole world is kind of coming apart? That things don't seem like they're, as we have said back in the 70s, that things aren't jiving the way it's supposed to jive. If you don't know what jive is, it's crazy. But anyway, it really means coming together. It's like the world, so many things in our world in the moment seem to be like breaking apart. And so here's the truth about that. You see, the devil decided that he wanted God's position, and he created this chaos in heaven. It lasted about that long because God put him out. But he created this situation where his way is to divide us as much as he possibly can. He wants to divide your mind. He wants to divide your family. He wants to divide our country. He wants to divide our church. And it's interesting, the more and more people God continues to bring to us, the more opportunities we have for the enemy to step in and try to divide. And we just keep praying and knowing, as we said, Jesus over everything. Is Jesus over division? Absolutely, He is. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit today, not just division itself. But from the time Cain killed Abel, men and women have been fighting each other over stuff and things and really, really pride. It's the lust of this world, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. It's those three things. The devil is smart, but he's not smart. He does the same three things over and over again, and we just keep falling for them. That's the problem. And so when he created that situation, when this happened, and it's kind of like watching Back to the Future when it skewed off to that alternate 1985 and everything was out of kilter and Biff was in charge and the world was chaos. That's what's going. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you go, "What's he talking? What, is he speaking in tongues? What is this?" If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay. But understand that I feel a lot of times like I have stepped off into a skewed place in history, and it's like, oh my goodness, the whole place is coming apart in so many different ways. And so in Jesus' day, it was no different. There was religious against non-religious. There was this idea of Jew against Samaritan and Roman against everybody, and everybody was against everybody. And Jesus, it was everywhere. And let me get something really straight at the beginning of the message today. That is, God never ordained chaos. Nothing occurs to God. God don't go, what am I going to do with this? God never asks a question like that. From the very beginning, He knew what was going to happen. And He knew before He ever created the foundation of the world, He said, "I've got to send Jesus to save them because they're not going to be able to do it themselves." As soon as you bring a child into the world, you know they're going to poop and pee all over you. Well, maybe not over you, but they're going to do it all around you. And before long, they're going to learn to lie, and you're not going to teach them, and you're not going to understand where that came from, and what's wrong with all those other kids influencing my child, and why in the world does it? And you go through all these things. It's just part of the skewed world in which we live. And here's the kicker. You are the answer for God in this world. When I say you, I'm talking about you, Jesus followers, are the answer to God in the world. And there is no plan B. And can I just say that in so many ways that Keith Davis is just not getting it right. And I keep talking about this series that's coming up, and it's coming. But I want to make the point today that just because it's skewed and messed up doesn't mean that God's not reconciled it already. You see, I think that, and I'm learning through my own process, that healing has to come prior to the healing coming. That healing in my mind, the fixation of my, if I fixate on the problem, then it does like it did this week for me. It kicks me all around. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. If I focus on the problem, then the problem becomes the focus, and God becomes somewhere way back in here somewhere. And what I want to encourage us to do today from the book of Ephesians is to understand that it's all broken apart, but by the grace of God, he's already reconciled it. The healing has already come. The answer is here. It's just that we have to accept that, and not only accept it, but stop being Christians and start being disciples. Stop being students and start following Jesus. So stop just going through the motions of church and step into a role that God has called us to be and not depend on your own power to do it. I'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to do that. So here's how it's described in chapter 3. And I can't do the whole book of Ephesians today. We'd be here for hours and hours. But I'm going to try my best to stay in chapter 3. What I really want to do today is to share a prayer that I pray every day in order to be able to deal with the world that's going on in my mind, in my heart, in my life. And not just deal with it, but deal with it in victory. Okay? And it starts off kind of like this. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, that's where we are. If you want to follow on your Bible, it'll be on screen. It'll be in your notes. And Scripture says, and this is God's plan, both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Check out the next sentence. Both are part of the same body. And for, in our day, to say Jew and Gentile are the one and the same, and we've probably heard it preached so much, that we just go, oh, okay, that's no big deal. But in his day to say that, for the Jew to accept the Gentiles, I said earlier, for the Jews to accept anybody else except the Jews, for the Gentiles, on and on and on, the pagans and all the things that were going on, Jesus is saying, and he says, and both to enjoy the promise of the blessings. Why? Because they belong to Jesus Christ. There's the reconciler. There's the healer. There's the answer. And you already knew that. You came to church today. You know, what am I going to get today? I'm going to get the same answer I get every week, and that is Jesus is the answer. He just is. He just is. We keep repeating the same answer, and you guys keep showing up to hear it. I love it. That's great. And we keep showing up to, you're not really showing up to hear it, but you're showing it up to proclaim one more time, just one more time. And you'll get out of bed tomorrow, and you'll proclaim it one more time by living for him through your life. And by explaining all this to Paul, he's trying to get them to see that everything is reconciled in Jesus. And I want to tell you, Ephesians is full of what I call, this is crude. I'll just go ahead and tell you before I say it. And Liz is going, oh, my goodness, what's he about to say? Paul has what I call praise vomits all through his words. He just starts talking about God, and he just goes, God is just this and this and this and this and this. It just flows out of his mouth through the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's kind of one of them. He says this, God's purpose in all of this. What is the purpose of reconciliation? What is the purpose of bringing two things separated from God back together? What is the purpose? He says God's purpose in all of this was to use the church. Everybody say, I'm the church. I'm the church. You are. You're kingdom. You're God. You're God on the earth. You're the representation of who he is. And you said, did he just say we're God? I'm going to show it to you in a minute. Blew my mind. I've known it was there, but wow. He says, and to display all his wisdom. One translation says the manifold wisdom of God. You know what a manifold is, don't you? You know, on a car. You know it's got all these little pipes coming out of it, all these many folds and many things that are coming out of it. God's wisdom is so vast. It's so vast in all these aspects, but he brought it together in Christ. He says, in its rich variety to all of the people on the planet Earth. That is not what that text said. You see, we get the idea that somehow we're going to be good Christians and show everybody how Jesus is so we can go tell the world and they'll become like us. Not the point at all. Not the point. I don't want, heaven forbid, anybody come like me. When I grew up in church, it was always about we want to become the first century church, like the first century church. We've got to be like the first century church. And we believed in what's called pattern theology. If we could do it like the first century church did, we'd get the same results they did. That is not even biblical at all. Because pattern theology is the only pattern is Christ. He's the only pattern there is. And he's saying here that the rich variety of his wisdom is seen where? To the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. What does that even mean? I believe that just in a nutshell, this is the idea where everything out there that's being at war right now, if God ripped the ceiling open and ripped the earth, the skies open, and we could see what was going on in the heavenly of heavenlies, we'd probably all go home and stay there and not come out again because there's a war going on. We get so caught up in our world that we forget we're in a battle every day, and you and I cannot win it on our own. Because it's in the heavenlies, the unseen rulers. It's not about me mustering up enough strength so I can get more people to come to Jesus so they can come to church and be like I am. It's I want to be able to submit myself to the rule of the governing authorities of God so that so that they can not only see what's going on inside of me, but it can go on inside of them. And together, we kick the enemy's butt back to hell where he came from. That's what we do. That's the power that's in us. And we give it up for church and being nice and not cussing too much. That was supposed to be funny, but anyway. And we say, well, I'm a good person. Come on, man. This is his eternal plan. It's an eternal plan which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, I'm already bogged. Now, it's so good, though. Isn't it good stuff to understand that? And you're saying, I don't even understand what you're talking about. It's okay, because I don't either. I'm just admitting. This is way beyond any of us. And that's why we have to have what I'm going to talk about praying for here in just a little bit. You see, God's work was to show all these spiritual things to be under his rule and authority. That's what the point is. That everything falls under his authority. And his purpose declared that message to all of those authorities that you and I actually can't physically see. And because of that, we get to be a part of his work. Paul said this way. He explained it this way. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan. What mysterious plan? Jesus coming into the world to kick the ruling authorities out and to that plan I just talked about. The mysterious that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Paul said, I am so grateful that I get to be a part of this. And y'all, we can say the same thing. We put Paul on such a pedestal, he would never put himself there. And he was the sinner of all sinners, he said, but he was chosen by God not only to write 8 books of the New Testament, but to give his life a follower of Jesus. Why? Because he knew that the answer was the principalities and powers would be defeated in the name of Jesus. You see, God is the great reconciler. Everybody say reconciled. Reconciled means taking two things that have been torn apart and putting them back together. And the source of the power to bless us and to put things back out of the chaos, back together, putting us in the middle of that, is our call. And since that's true, you see, what the enemy has tried to take from the world was settled in Christ. The enemy tried to take away even the possibility for us to have, and it's not even just salvation. We make everything about, I got to get saved today, and I hope you do. I got to get saved today. Listen, I get saved every day. I'm on a road of salvation that it comes every morning. It's brand new over and over and over again. I've repeated that so many times. What I'm trying to get you to say, this is a journey that we're trying to get to a point where we want to be with Jesus. But, y'all, we can't miss the journey. The difference between how we think of things in the Western world, all you want me to do today is just to give you the answer, and here's the answer, and you just go do it. That's the way we think in our culture. That's the way kids go to school. That's why AI is so dangerous. They don't need to study anymore. They just ask Siri or ask ChatGPT. They just ask the authority, and you know what they're missing when they do that? They're missing the journey. It's like a painting, Jennifer. I mean, you can't just go, okay, I'm going to photocopy a painting. It takes time and hours. And part of the joy that you get out of painting is that God's gifted you to paint so that the journey itself ends in the culmination of this beautiful portrait or whatever. You see them around here all over the place. Just that whole thing. I walked into a place that had your signature on it. I was like, what? I didn't know she did that. That's powerful. And what we don't need to do, guys, is miss the journey. And if you're going to travel the journey, it's not going to be easy, and you're going to need supernatural help to get there. And if you don't think that's true, if you think you can muster up enough goodness, you've missed a point severely. We just can't do it. Let me ask you this. Is God the answer for all of your spiritual needs? There's not a trick question in that. He is. Well, if he is, then we have to deal with this somehow and somehow go to the source to be able to move in this world. So can I give you real quick three or four things that I will give you very quickly to help us understand how is it that God can settle the chaos in my mind? And I'm giving this to you because, let me just real quick take a couple of minutes and share with you. This week's been the hardest week since I've started this journey in my physical self. And Liz has heard it all week, and the kids have heard it. It's just been one of those things where I haven't been able to focus in my mind. I've been physically worn, completely slapped out. The fact that I'm standing here today is a supernatural thing. It really is. And so come about Thursday, nothing's written. Come about Friday morning, nothing's written. That's what Liz. I said, I got to get in the books. I got to do something. I got to give what God's wanting to give. And it occurred to me that I pray every day exactly what I want to give to you guys. This is coming out of a prayer that I pray for me every day. This right out of Scripture. And it's in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 19. And what I want to do is for the next bit, just kind of unpack kind of how this seems in my mind to work and help me, okay? I wished I could say every day that I pray these things that I walk through the day in confidence and I don't have any problems and everything's good and it's all hunky-dory. It's not. It's a battle. How many of you have learned in life that if you want things that are difficult to have, you've got to do difficult things to get to those things? And we know the principle, but we live in an instant culture. Microwaves and instant coffee and Keurigs. Just pop a pot in and hit a button and there's a cup of coffee right there. We don't percolate anything anymore. And this is percolating. This has to percolate. This has to work in us. So, what do you desire to be? So, Paul gives us a prayer. And I think this prayer is kind of a sort of an outline. He's actually connecting it. In chapter 3, he starts off with this question, when I think of all this. He says, when I think of all this, what are you thinking about? All the reconciliation that's happened in the past with the Jew and Gentile and all those things. When I think about these things where God's brought everything together under his own rule, and then he begins to talk, and he does like Paul does always. He takes about 13 verses, and he just does a little skew thing like I do sometimes. He chases a rabbit. Well, in 14 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, he comes back to the point, and he says it again. When I think of all this, think of all of what? What does the this point to? Well, in this text, it points to God over all authorities, okay? When I think about my purpose, that is to be in the kingdom where God is going to reconcile all of this. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with all the money you need. Or the really nice church building to do it in. Or we feel it. God, just give me everything I need. I just need this to happen and that to happen and da-da-da-da-da. We just give this list of things. And let me say something. God's ready for your list. He wants you to. He says he gives everything for our enjoyment. I understand that. He is a God of good gifts. In fact, the scripture says all good gifts come from him. But oftentimes we shroud our prayers in this idea of God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, before we ever say to him how amazing he is, how wonderful he is, and what we really actually need. Most people, when they ask me for help as a pastor, already have what they need. It's just some things they want me to snap a finger and give them a word of advice, and boom, it's done. It's done. And it just doesn't work that way. He says, I want you to be empowered with inner strength through his Spirit. The person that many of us have missed, we're just trying more and more. So in the chaos, Holy Spirit is the only source of peace in our life. Holy Spirit clears the way in our hearts for us to make room for Jesus. He's the one who empowers us. Can you be sinless? Careful. Can you be sinless? Nobody wants to say yes because we know we're sinners, right? And we know we need the grace of God. So we live in the grace of God, but we forget that Holy Spirit has empowered us to see that God has already already completed and blown away the heavenly of heavenlies. Why can't I say no to a sin today? And I think it's because oftentimes we deny the very power that gives us the ability to say no. We deny the very power. And now when we do sin, and we will, we always know that we fall on the grace of God. There's nothing else that's going to save you but the grace of God. You can't be sinless in that format of that. But you can rely upon the Holy Spirit, because here's the truth. I in the natural can't do anything right. I'm sorry, man. One of the things that this physical issue in my life has given me is I drop stuff a lot. I don't know why. It just frustrates the daylights out of me. I drop things a lot. And spiritually speaking, I kind of do the same thing. I find myself saying, I'm not gonna get mad. There's no way I'm gonna get mad at this right here. And then somebody cuts me off in traffic. And then the devil says, there you are, you're gonna get mad. And if I ever give into that, then I have sinned. Yes, and God forgives me through all of that. But that's not the point, man. Supernaturally, I'm as stronger than I've ever been in my life. That's not a braggadocious thing. That is saying to God, God, I'm releasing within me the open door for you to come in. I'm asking every day. And that's point number one. I missed it. I don't know if you put it up there or not. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm asking the Lord. He says, you ask for inner strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask for inner strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you just, in a moment, will you just shut your eyes for about 30 seconds, hold your hands out, and say, Lord, I need inner strength from the power of the Holy Spirit. I need that from Him. I need to be empowered with that. And that's not a power struggle or a power move. It's just simply saying, I can't do it on my own. I have to have supernatural strength. And that, then he says a word that's kind of cool. If you're not a word person, man, the Bible's going to bother you because it's all words. Unfortunately, there are no pictures. And the ones we have are really not really good, okay? It just is what it is. So for picture people, now I will say this. The words, Hebrew is a pictorial language. And the more I learn about Hebrew, the more beautiful it becomes. I can't say many of the words without spitting, but it's a beautiful language that is all about drawing pictures. They were picture people. And with a Jew, you didn't just ask a Jewish rabbi, give me the answer. And he'd go, okay, here's the answer. He would say, no, what I want you to do is, and he would send you on a journey. I'm learning and growing in this. But listen, he says the word then. Then what? Why is that important? He says, I ask that you would give me, empower me with inner strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. Do you see that? It's almost like a prerequisite, and I have to be careful of that because in our Western mind, we think he's giving us a command we got to do to get Jesus in our life. I'm not doing that. I'm saying that until we open our lives up to what the Spirit has to do in our life, that he says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you what? Everybody say the word. Trust. Everybody say trust. Trust him. This is a very real indwelling where Jesus Christ doesn't just get to come through on Sundays. He doesn't just get let in the evenings when you read your Bible or in the morning when you get up to pray. He's there. He's obviously there. But it's not about these moments. He's saying, I want him to make his home. There is an indwelling. He's setting up shop. He's building a house in your heart. And every decision that I make, if it's not permeated by what would Jesus do or what did Jesus do or how do I become Jesus in this moment, if it's not asking those questions, then being a disciple of Christ is going to be very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. And so in order to stand strong, he has to take a residence. Residence. So like I was at the cancer center the other day, and I was on the elevator and came down. This lady, she's probably, I don't know, she's like around 70 years old. And she I said, how are you? You know, you make conversation and get on the elevator. And I try not to be weird. You know, just say, oh, good morning, ma'am. How are you doing? What's floor? You know, and punch a button. And she said, I'm okay. Which meant, I'm not okay. I didn't do anything in the elevator because that would really have been weird. If I said, can I pray for you and put her hand on the truck? She'd be like, get off me, man. But wait, I got in the lobby and I was just like, is there something I can pray about for you? I mean, just that simple thing. And it changed her whole, like, day. We stopped in the lobby. And I stopped on purpose right in the middle of an aisle where people were coming. It was great. We just stand there. I didn't even put my hand on it. Just, Lord, just pray. And it was just so awesome to be in that moment. In that moment, it's allowing Jesus to permeate my life to the point that I want to spill it out on her. And so here's the deal. He says, then Christ, once the Holy Spirit, we say, Holy Spirit, please come. Help me with inner strength. And I say it like this a lot of times when I'm praying. I say, and Lord, you know I need it so bad. I have no strength in of myself. And I say, then I want Christ to make, then Christ comes and makes his home in my heart. And then number three, he says this, if we want this kind of permeation of who God is in our life, we will be rooted in God's love. Rooted. I can't say the word rooted without thinking about Karate Kid, you know, Daniel's son, being, you know, must have deep root, you know, strong, must have strong root, you know, Mr. Miyagi said. Listen, I know my mind, I'm sorry. But listen, This is a picture we don't need to lose. Many of us have seen evidence recently when the water would fall and the rain would fall so much and saturate the earth and the trees would get weak in the roots. And then the big winds would come through and these trees, massive trees, been here for hundreds of years just laying over on their side. That can happen to a tree in a windstorm. How in the world are you going to stand when your marriage is falling apart, when your life is falling apart, when your work, you don't know what you're going to do, but you don't know how you're going to make the bills this month. You don't know how, all these different things. And it's really even beyond all those things. When am I going to be the father I'm going to be, the mother I'm going to be for Jesus? He said, you got to be rooted in his love. I love this next paragraph. I'm going to read it pretty quickly. So he says, your roots will grow down. He said, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. Holy Spirit comes, Christ comes in. Then you rooted, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand. I love this, as all of God's people should. You should be there. And he says how wide and long and high and deep your love is. It's just, it says it's an expression of expanse. There's no measurement that you can put on God's love. I think it's what he's saying here. It becomes deep, how wide, long, high, and deep. May you experience the love of Christ. This is permeating our life every day. When you want to do this, through the power of the strength the Holy Spirit gives you, Christ making his home in your heart, rooted in the love of God, I react this way instead of that way. I move in my life because of who he is. Experience the love of Christ. He says, though it's too great to fully understand. Well, Paul, how am I going to deal with this if I can't fully understand it? This is the idea here is that mentally you cannot. Physically you cannot understand it. It's only understood through the supernatural. It's only understood through the supernatural. And I don't mean to try to get all ethereal on you. Y'all know I'm growing in this, but I'm trying to understand that I cannot do this on my own. I can't be rooted in God's love without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and in the indwelling of Jesus Christ, living in that love every day. Y'all see how this is a progressive kind of thing that Paul is sharing here? And then there's that word then again. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I've been reading that from the New Living Translation that I put on screen. Leave that up there for just a second. The idea here, he says that you'll be complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's a little bit of a bad translation. Because when you look this up in the original language, what he's saying is that you will be filled up with all the fullness of God. That's what I said earlier. I was talking about trying to be God, be who he is. You don't have to do that in your own. You have to fully submit to him. Let spirit come in and completely rearrange all the furniture in your spiritual life and set it up like God wants it set up. That's full submission in him. He says here, the whole thing is that you become all the fullness of God. There's nothing I can do outside of him that matters. Filled to the brim with God. If you fill a glass of water up with to the brim with water, what's the only thing that can spill out of that glass? Water. We've all done it, probably accidentally. That's the way I want my spiritual life to be. That if you bump into me, all you know and sense is God. That if I bump into you, all I feel and sense and understand about you, it comes from God. And that there's a sincerity of life and there's a flow that comes from spirit with the indwelling of Christ. You see, it's just too vast for us to grasp on our own. And so we don't mentally grasp it. We become full of who God is because we accept him to be able to place that within us. God's love is the key to all of this. Is seen in the reconciliation of these two together. And we experience this kind of fullness through following the one who is the very person of love to us, and that is Jesus. Empowered by the Spirit, we follow Christ, who is like the Father. He said it to his disciples. Philip said, Lord, just show us the Father. That'll be enough. And I kind of sense it. I don't know if he did it this way or not, but I kind of sense Jesus go, my boys. Are you guys going to get this? Have you not seen me, Philip? Do you not know that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? We're one. Y'all, we need to be able to say the same thing to our neighbors. Well, just show us where God is. if my neighbor's asking me to show them God, then apparently I'm not living like he needs me to live. That's not a pressure or a guilt. It's just simply saying I want to submit to his will enough that only people sense him in him, sense him in me. And in the process of that, being empowered by the Spirit and dwelt by Jesus, rooted in God's love, he says that we can, the final point is to accomplish more than we could imagine. Now, I looked this phrase up and tried to come to an understanding of it. And I just want to tell you, this is a difficult phrase for me. I mean, he says that when all these things are accomplished, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power that is at work within us. You guys that grew up in my tradition, we had a song called Now to Him. Y'all remember that song? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and throughout all generations. I can't believe that's still in my head. Music is a beautiful thing. He's saying that through this mighty work that's working inside of us, it can accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Now, in our Western mind, we start imagining things. I had my friend, I won't say who because many of you know him. He said, well, I know it doesn't mean a red Corvette because there's not one in my driveway. And he said, I've imagined myself driving a red Corvette. Jokingly, he was saying all those things. It's our Western culture drives us to things and stuff and things that don't really matter and are not going to give us any kind of eternal value whatsoever. All of you are thinking about one right now. What am I going to have for lunch? I'm hungry. I want to go eat. I know. I broke the rule. You mentioned food during a sermon. But we think, and I was talking to Liz about this last week, we think that if I just had one more bowl of ice cream before Monday so I can start a really good diet, I'll be fine. I didn't say Liz said that. I said that. That's me, not her. But my point is, all of us believe it, right? If I just had one more thing, if I just had this taken care of, if this would just line up, my life would be okay. If I could get the college degree I want, or if I could get the grade I want, if I could play drums like my papa, I would be amazing. Did I get an amen out of that, or are you messing with me? He's messing with me, baby. He'll be way better than me, starting to do some good stuff younger than I ever did. But the point is, it doesn't matter how good we are at those things. Because at the end of the day, at the end of our life, all that really matters is the final verse of the day. And I put this in. It's not in your notes. I want you to add it. Psalm 91, too. This past week, I was given Psalm 91 like 5 times from different people. And if you read Psalm 91, I argue with it. Because it says, if the 10,000 around me die, I won't. I'm like, really? Okay. Really? David is just so confident in that psalm. I love it. It's one of the few psalms years ago I put to memory. I was challenging myself to memorize some scripture. And I put it to memory, and I've long since forgotten it memorized-wise. But it's such a precious, precious psalm. And he says in verse 2 this, I'm going to have to turn around and read it. I won't mess it up. This I declare about the Lord, he alone. Everybody read it out loud with me. Would y'all do that? In fact, let's just stand as we honor God in the word. We just do that. We're going to end our services in a moment. Will you just read it out loud with me? This I declare about the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. And I trust him. And I trust him. It would have been fine. That verse would have been fine with me if he left that part off. He can be my God. He can be an amazing God. He can be the Lord of all things. He can be my refuge and my strength. But do I trust him? Do I trust him? And that takes a sense of supernatural. And prayer team, come on. Y'all go ahead. Come on down. Come on down. Prayer team is going to be all over the place up here. And I want you guys who are guests with us, these folks are just here to pray with you. They're not here to counsel you. They're just here to pray over you. We have no power in of ourselves, but we know where the source is. And so we're going to implore God in the name of Jesus, by the power of his Spirit, to bless you today. and bless you in whatever way that you sense that you need that. And really, the only way this absolutely works is full submission in His power, not yours, and not theirs, and not mine, and not theirs, and not anybody around you. So let's just give that up to God. Can we do that today? I want to trust Him. Father, I trust You. You said in Your word, God, I proclaim it publicly, the promises that You've declared over my life and everybody's life, Father, that You are our refuge and strength. That, Father, You come in. You heal our diseases. You forgive us our sins. God, You said that. So, God, we can only fall on You. We can only say that we trust You. God, we trust You with our very lives in every way that we can, in every way that's possible. But, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask today that You, I pray, wind of the Spirit blow through this place today. Not for an experience, God. We're not looking for an experience. We're looking for a relationship. We're looking for a depth of ability to be able to face every day with all the divisive chaos that the enemy throws at us and face it with confidence and lay down at night and sleep and rest well because You are our refuge and our strength. You are our ever-present help in a time of need. You are the one. You are our place of safety. You are the one that takes Your amazing healing wings and You put them over us and You cover us like a hen gathers her chickens around. You want that, Lord. And we want it, Lord. We want to come to You in that kind of faith today, in that kind of ability to just release all the anxiety that's in us, Lord, all the tiredness, and release it to You and proclaim once again, Jesus is over everything. Would You come? Would You just step out right now? Anybody that wants to come, just step out. Just one step. I'm not going to coax or prod you. I'm not going to come out there and goad you out of it. But you know right now that this is a moment for you to step out and maybe confess a sin you've never confessed before. Maybe tell somebody before that you got a problem going on in your life you need prayed over and all those things. But more than anything, I would challenge you today, like I've been doing for years now, is to come with your hands open and simply say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We receive, Father, in Jesus' name. We want that relationship. It's all about You, God. We love You, Lord. Feel free to step out anytime. We're going to worship for a bit before we close. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He has to be that. you have never in your lifetime ever named him as Lord, today would be a great day to do that. Because we call it an ascent of faith, that we believe that Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. He died, and he rose again on the third day to defeat death so that we can say he's over everything, including those angels and principalities and powers and all those things that we can't see. It's a simple trust in him. And we'll take you through steps if you need to, whatever step you need to take. But just please, don't leave here today feeling confused and scared. I used to leave church almost every Sunday scared to death that God was going to come back because I was afraid he's going to smack me upside the head and send me off to hell somewhere. Listen, that is not the God I serve. He loves you right where you are, but he doesn't want to leave you where you are. Come today. We're going to sing just a little bit more, and we're going to dismiss. But, man, take this opportunity and understand that he is Lord. He is Lord. Make him Lord of your life today. Whether I believe it or not, he's Lord, right? We still have people up here praying right now. So just kind of be respectful of that as we dismiss. I want, and hey, if we dismiss and you're walking that way, you need to come back. These people are going to be up here for a little bit. We'll hang out and wait on you. Catch us. Let us pray with you. If you want to stay for impact, step two, do that. Just stay with us. But it's such an honor to have all of you here today. I hope that God blesses your life. I hope this message has blessed your life like it has mine. And I pray it permeates our life as we live every day. I love you guys so, so very much. We'll be dismissed now. Father, I want to pray just a time. Father, may your blessings permeate our lives as we leave. May your protection, Father, may your influence, may your very presence be in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great rest of your Sunday. God bless you, man. God bless you. Woo.